Well, we've been in the book of James last week and now this week, and up until I think the 16th is when we're going to be in this series. And last week we opened this up, and James, right, the book was written by James the Apostle, who was the half-brother of Jesus, and he was a very close very close friend in this group of Jesus. So he's writing this first-handed account of his letter to his people, but through the actual physical presence of Jesus, having experienced that. So James is the earliest New Testament book. Now, it's obviously not in the front, but it's believed to be one of the first written out of that because of such closeness with Jesus and living early. And it was written to Christians who were scattered around Jerusalem due to persecution of the Roman government. So James is writing essentially to his people. He's pastoring the church in Jerusalem of that time. And so this, as we read James, it does kind of read more like a sermon and less like a book of the Bible. And he's writing this this encouragement to his church. And so we're in this five-week series exploring major themes in the book of James. The first week, which was last week, we talked about testing and persevering. Testing and persevering. And we talked about our faith being tested through trials and adversity and suffering, and the list could go on for days if we really wanted to think about all the ways our faith could be tested. But when our faith is tested, it produces, and this is per scripture in James, perseverance, maturity, and deeper faith. And so James guarantees us right off the bat, whenever your faith is tested, right, our faith is going to be tested. As a Christian, if we are going to have faith in Jesus, it is going to be tested at one point or another through many different avenues. But what James is kind of proposing in this book and what we talked about last week was that tested faith brings about perseverance, which brings about a dependence upon God, which then brings about deeper faith. And so he's essentially saying take joy when you go through trials, not because it's fun, but because it's an opportunity to deepen your faith and be stronger for the next one. And so he lays out this sort of cycle that happens when our faith is tested. And so perseverance then increases our capacity to hope, right? Because if perseverance brings out deeper faith in God, it increases our capacity to be a hopeful person. And tested faith and perseverance, while not welcomed all the time, right, can be a vital part of our walk as Christians. So the first promise we talked about three of them, was blessed are those who persevere. If we persevere, we are blessed, and God sees that. The second one is that God is not trying to throw us off, right? God is not where temptation comes from. He is wanting the best for you. He is wanting your best, and your best is at his heart. He is not throwing things in the way to try and make you slip up and say, I've got you, or anything like that. And then promise number three is that God wants us to be the best of his creation. James said the first fruits. He wants us to be the best of his creation. So that brings us to this week, which we're going to be talking about listening and doing. Listening and doing. That's the theme of this week's message. How many of you have said to a kid or a grandkid before, maybe while they're playing video games, that they need to go clean their room, and then the end of the day, it's not clean? Anybody been there? Okay. And maybe you've been the kid, right, that was supposed to clean their room and didn't do it. It's a common thing, right? Or you'll say, clean your room, and they'll say, uh-huh, okay. And then they didn't hear what you said, right? But maybe they acknowledged that you were talking to them. Maybe you've been through that at work. Maybe you're an employer, and some of your employees, you've given an order or a job, and they acknowledge, say, sure thing, and then it's not done, right? So they either weren't listening or they weren't doing, or both. Or maybe, like me, you go through the drive-through line at Arby's and you order your thing, and they're like, do you want Arby's sauce? I said, yes, you brought it up. I will take Arby's sauce, please. That is probably one of the top five fast food sauces around. I'll take it. Arby's sauce, please. And then they say, okay, so just to make sure, here's your order, and you want Arby's sauce with that. Yes, please give me Arby's sauce. And then you get to the window, You pay, they give you your food, you drive away, you open the bag, and lo and behold, no Arby's sauce. Heartbreak, right? You've been listened to, you've been acknowledged, and then they just don't do it, right? That's not fun. I paid for that Arby's sauce, right? It's not all Arby's fault. I'll tell them myself a second, too. We've had a long week of, I bought a bunch of vegetables at an auction, and we've been canning and putting them away, and so naturally the boxes build up. We had this painting event yesterday. For those of you ladies who came to that, thank you so much. I didn't go, but it looked like there was a great turnout. The Facebook posts are awesome, and everybody looked like they had a great time. But lots of orders on Amazon to get that thing going. So boxes have been accumulating at our house, and all week, my wife is saying, you need to burn some of these boxes or get rid of them or get them out of here. You know, yes, I know, I'll do it. And guess where the boxes are? Yeah, they're still there. Every one of them. They're all still there in the garage waiting to be burnt because I listened, but I didn't do, right? Being ignored is no fun. Agree? Okay. Being acknowledged and then ignored is worse, right? I've been told to take the boxes out like 6 times to do something with them. I haven't done it yet, but I've said okay every time, right? I heard her. The kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, but you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Listening and doing is a big deal, right? Jesus said so. So we have to submit to that. Listening and doing is a big deal. Does listening matter? This is kind of the question to ponder. Does listening matter without a response? Right. Does listening matter? It's a philosophy question for the day. Does listening matter without a response? If I don't respond to something, does it matter if I even listen? Does it matter if I even hear if I don't respond? If it doesn't change or do or anything, okay? So does listening without response even matter? We're in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. So this is picking up right where we left off last week. I'll read the passage. We'll break it up into 3 parts like we did last week and go through it. Starting in verse 19, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." like, he's using illustrations, he's doing all kinds of stuff. James is preaching to his church here through writing is what's happening. We're preaching a sermon on a sermon, essentially, today. And so we see him using, you know, if you listen but don't do, it's like looking in the mirror and forgetting what you looked like, and you know, he's going through all this, all these different things. But he breaks it up into three parts, at least that I could tell, or for my brain, that's how we're going to do it. But the first part is listening. The first part was listening. Verse 19 says this, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Have you ever been in an argument, specifically maybe with your spouse? That's probably the person you'd argue with the most in life because, you know, they have to live with you, right? That was a joke. Goodness sakes. Maybe you've been in an argument before. And this slow to speak, slow to become angry, that's valuable, right? When you're, especially when you're in an argument or when you're, there's tense situation, be quick to listen. Right? If somebody's upset with you, don't be defensive and yell back or not hear what they say. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I'm telling you, arguments would be a lot less hostile if we were to take this advice, right? Maybe they wouldn't even be arguments. Maybe they'd just be an apology and move on, right? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Verse 20 says, because, okay, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So when we're angry, doesn't say don't be angry because it's a sin. We can be angry about things, that's okay, but when we're quick to it and we're holding on to it, it does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So quickness to anger, it ruins your witness as a Christian. If I'm professing one thing, but someone says something and I immediately fire back at them where I can show that I'm visibly angry all the time, that kind of ruins what we're claiming, right, as Christians. It's not an easy sell if you're trying to show somebody the love of Jesus while yelling at them or while being holding on to things that they've done to you. Quickness to anger ruins your witness. Quickness to anger leads to sin. Not that anger is sinning, but quickness to anger leads to sin. In fact, he's like filth and all this other stuff in the passage. Quickness to anger leads to sin. And then lastly, quickness to anger ruins relationships. Quickness to anger ruins relationships. When I was a youth pastor here, I had a couple students in my youth group, and the family goes to church here, and I was just admiring how these kids turned out. And I thought, man, I have kids. I need to talk to those parents. And so I talked to the mom, and what she said was, you know, I just listened and I didn't react. That's really all I did. And I thought, man, I'm not going to call this person out, but such good advice, right? And clearly got that from Scripture. But if you want your kids to be with you and love being around you and slow to speak, slow to anger. I just listened. I tried my hardest not to react, no matter how hard it was, no matter how shocking it was, because I wanted them to be able to trust me and know that they could be with me and not have anger spit at them or judgment or shock, but slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So don't rely on all the anger and the snap judgment, snap decisions, but accept the word planted in you, which can save you. When we live in sin, right? When we live in the filth and the, what do you say, moral filth and evil, right? That's not a place we want to be. When we live in sin, our response will typically be sinful. What's in the heart flows out of the mouth, right? When we live in sin, our response will be sinful. When we rely on the word planted within us, that is what will save us, and that is what will transform our minds and our responses and our relying on being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Part two, James talks about responding. So listening and doing. Part two is responding. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's a weird thing to say, right? Does that mean if I just do a devotion in the morning that I'm deceiving myself? Don't merely read the word. Do it. Right? So if I'm just reading my Bible or reading scripture on my computer or my phone and then I have the opportunity to act on that and I don't, I'm deceiving myself. Reading scripture is a good thing, right? That's a great practice. Don't not read scripture. Definitely do it. It's one of the best things you can do. But James is saying, don't stop there. Actually apply it to your life. Actually do it. Listening to God's word and not responding is not bad, but it's not God's best for us. Listening to God's word and not responding is not God's best for us. Verse 23 says, and anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Personally, I'm okay with that. I don't love the way the mirror looks anyway, right? But after looking at himself, goes away, forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Jesus says something kind of in his own words here about this. It says, this is Matthew 7, verses 24 and 25, and this will be familiar to you. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. All right? Listen and do. Those who merely listen deceive themselves. And it's not listening is not bad, but especially in our walk, listening pairs with responding, with doing, with acting. It's very easy to get self there. This is how I want to put it. It's very easy to get self-righteous because I read my Bible today, right? Feel real good about me. Then I, you know, swerved at a guy because he cut me off in traffic, but I read my Bible, so I'm better. Listening and doing. Those who listen and respond are equipped for the storm. Those who listen and respond are equipped for the storm. So, what have you been hearing that needs response? Have you been listening a lot and not acting? What have you been reading or hearing? You know, you can listen to all different kinds of things, devotionals, sermons, worship songs. God can speak to you in many different ways. What have you been hearing that you maybe haven't responded to? What needs a response in your life? Part three, acting accordingly. Listening, responding, and then acting accordingly. Verse 26, those who consider themselves religious yet don't keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God the Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So what God accepts, watch your mouth, and not just profanity, but how you talk about and to other people. Keep orphans and widows and those in distress in the forefront of your caregiving, and just don't be polluted by what the world has to offer. That is, well, nothing about like going to church on Sunday or make sure you're reading scripture. I mean, this is the religion that God accepts as pure and righteous. That hurts. I mean, I don't line up to that all the time. That's pretty tough. So to make it even more fun, right? Think about this with me. When was the last time you gossiped or criticized somebody, tore them down, made fun of somebody use profanity, whatever would fit the category of not being able to keep the rein on your tongue. When was the last time you did that? And don't yell it out, Austin. But pair it with this. When was the last time you served, cared for, looked after, stood up for the less fortunate? Right, that's the religion that God accepts as pure and righteous. So when, I'm hopefully, right, we can all say, oh yeah, no, that I know exactly when I did this stuff. And maybe this stuff's like, I gotta think back a little bit. Hopefully that's where we are. But sometimes it's not, right? God does not accept someone who is claiming religion and tearing others down. Claiming religion and constantly nitpicking and tearing people apart, that is not of the kingdom of God, and he does not accept it. God does accept people claiming religion and caring for others, serving others, especially those who are in distress and need it. Responding to the word is caring for others and not looking like the rest of the world. Responding to the word is just caring, serving, focusing on how you can help rather than what someone's doing wrong or what you think is wrong with this or that or the other. And then not looking like the rest of the world, offering something different than the world offers. So a few questions to end on today. The first one is, do my words align with my witness? Do my words align with the witness I profess? If I'm claiming to be a Christian, if I'm claiming to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, do my words align with that? Are the things that come out of my mouth on a daily basis point to Jesus, or do they say, if that's what Jesus is about, I don't really want anything to do with it? Am I letting anger turn into sin? Am I harboring things that I'm angry about? Am I quick to anger in arguments or just in life? Am I letting anger turn into sin? Do I need to respond to what I'm hearing? Maybe today, this morning, yes, but maybe you've been hearing things for weeks and months and you need to turn and respond to that. Do I speak more than I act? Do I speak more than I act? If I'm talking, hey, listen, I love talking. I'm literally being paid to talk to you right now. Like, that's hard for me not to talk, right? But do I speak as a Christian in the world? Do I speak more than I act, or am I letting my actions do more of the speaking? Are people seeing Jesus through what I do as much or more than what I say? We need to be both hearers. This is it. We need to be both hearers and doers of the word. To simply listen and not respond in this context, according to Jesus, according to James, and then according to Jesus again, is not okay. We need to be both hearers and doers of the word. Would you pray with me? Father, we just thank you for a tough message, for scripture that still applies 2,000 years later, that can still poke and prod our hearts, that relate to so much of what we're going through and dealing with. God, we thank you that your word is alive and that it can speak to us. Help us, God, to listen. Help us to be in tune with what it is that you have for us. Help us not to just fire back excuses. Help us not to become slow or become quick to anger, but help us to be quick to listen. God, when you communicate something with us through your word in scripture, through a sermon, through a Bible study, whatever it is, help us to respond. Give us boldness and courage to respond and to grow our faith deeper in you. And God, help us to act accordingly. Don't let us get caught up in what we think people should be doing or how we think people should be acting, but who can I care for? Who is in distress? Who needs help? Where can I serve? What can I do? How can I build someone up and not tear somebody down? Help us to do that this week. God, we just love you and we praise you and we thank you for meeting us here this morning. God, we just ask that that you would just speak to hearts that need spoken to right now in this time, in this space. We love you. Amen. The band's going to sing. Our altars are always open. If you have something you need to deal with, respond to, whatever it may be, it's a great place to do it. I just ask that you take these last few minutes and just reflect on what God's been saying to you. Would you stand with us?